mi nota, el mundo a mí me necesita. Yo no soy como un poeta que recita tus sentimientos. Ah, ya llegó la hora, no hay otro momento de decirte lo que siento.
Welcome back to Voices from the Front Lines. On 90.7 Los Angeles, 98.7 in Santa Barbara. We are, I'm about to get on the phone, Melissa Birch from Critical Resistance. She's an organizer with Critical Resistance. And Critical Resistance is one of 16 community organizations that are part of the No New Jails Coalition. And a big thing that the No New Jails Coalition did was fight against Measure 8, which was a half-cent sales tax that would have raised about $500 million in terms of getting more money into the cops and police and having jails. And so she's going to be talking about the kind of second version of this coming on, and how the mayoral candidates right now is going to, how they're basically trying to push this back again. So, Melissa, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
Good. So why don't you start off and let us know what was Measure A and why we should actually pay attention to it.
Well, Measure A, as you said, was a proposed tax increase that would have added 0.5 cent to L.A. County sales tax, so taking the rate from 8.25 to 8.75%. It was expected to raise about $500 million per year in increased sales tax revenues, and the money would have been used to hire approximately 1,200 more police officers and also to expand the county jail system, and it also included some money for the courts to account for all the new arrests. So the measure got about 60% of the vote countywide, but failed to get the necessary two-thirds majority, so it did not pass.
And so then, as I heard in some of the LA Times article on the mayoral debates, everybody's talking about how, you know, public safety this, public safety that. Some of the actual advertisements in terms of Measure A was about basic a man breaking into a house and trying to basically steal stuff from one of the residents. The mayoral candidates seem like that's one of the issues that they're really trying to push, public safety. You know, it probably falls into this whole envelope of, you know, protection from, you know, terrorism, et cetera. So what, why is this such a just hot topic, and why are politicians actually trying to move on this?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is an old issue, really. I think the hype around fighting crime and public safety and getting tough on crime and all of that dates back to Nixon, we could say, who was the first one to use it as, you know, as a big part of his political campaign. So I don't think, unfortunately, that it's likely to go away anytime soon. I think politicians like this topic because it's an easy bandwagon to jump on. You know, they make people afraid by, you know, like you said, covering nothing but violence on the nightly news, even as crime rates in this country have continued to stabilize and drop, you know, and then those politicians then get to promise to protect us and keep us safe by locking everybody up. But really, you know, I don't think that we so much need to fight against this focus on public safety so much as we really need to redefine it and take it back. You know, we all want safe, healthy neighborhoods and communities. The question is just, how do we create them? And there's these criminologists, Dina Rose and Todd Clear, who showed that increased incarceration actually destabilizes neighborhoods and makes them less safe rather than making them safer. And, you know, I think that we all kind of know this in a common sense kind of way. I think that we know that we feel safer when we know that the people around us have decent housing, have enough to eat, have access to health and education, and have sustainable legal ways of making a living. You know, and polls have shown, too, that 2 out of 3 Californians prefer rehabilitation and prevention over sending more young people to prison. So, you know, I think it's not that we're not in favor of public safety, but rather that we have a different idea about how to achieve it.
So you were saying rehabilitation and prevention. What does that look like?
Well, you know, there's lots of alternatives that we are alternatives to prison that we're focusing on through the No New Jails Coalition. And I should just say, I think you mentioned that the No New Jails campaign is a coalition organizing effort supported by 16 different organizations, and we're essentially seeking to stop jail expansion in L.A. County. You know, in response to this really nationwide trend of, you know, more and more resources going into the criminal justice system and less for the things that we really need. And so, you know, as a result, the jail system in L.A. County is overcrowded. People are subjected to horrible conditions. And the county's solution to that, of course, is to create more jail beds. But we feel that instead the county should be looking for ways to reduce the number of arrests and thereby reduce the number of people who are locked up in L.A. County. And so, you know, we have four basic demands around that and a whole series of less expensive, more effective alternatives to locking people in jail that we're proposing. The first basic demand is to end the enforcement of the no sleeping ordinance. You know, we feel it shouldn't be a crime to have nowhere to sleep. And the no sleeping and other quality of life ordinances have been targeted at homeless and or mentally ill people. Increasing good time credits for jail programming is another. So this is something that the city and the county need to do is dramatically increase the kinds of programs that are available in jails that are proven to keep, you know, to reduce the rate at which people return, and provide incentives to people who are locked up to participate in those programs. But really, you know, the crux of the matter is before people even end up in jail, right? So we're talking about resources for prevention. We're talking about everything from youth programs to drug counseling, affordable housing. You know, these are the kinds of things that prevent people from going into prison in the first place, and also reentry services so that folks who do end up locked up, coming out and trying to rebuild their lives, that they have the kinds of resources that they need to put their lives back into place.
So then looking at the, which we totally would support, and, you know, a lot of things that you've seen is the downward turns in the 80s and 90s on social services and the actually the disintegration of jobs, you see the rise in the prison industry. So then what we have currently right now is a huge deficit where we're trying to police the whole nation and the county is trying to find money to actually fill that gap on how they can hire more cops, build more prisons. So we're looking at, what is it, six-plus candidates all in support of somehow bringing Measure A back on the city level. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's exactly right. They're determined to raise this money somehow, right? So as soon as Measure A failed, there was immediately talk about maybe a city-wide tax or a parcel tax, like raising trash collection fees, all in order to raise money to hire more police and expand the jail system. So right now there's tremendous pressure on the city council to put a half-cent sales tax on the May ballot. And I think this is what we need to do, is let city council members know that not everybody wants this, that there's thousands of Angelenos who don't want a sales tax increase, period, and also many who do not want to see more resources, again, allocated to policing and jails rather than to education or housing or jobs and all of that.
And I also think it's kind of interesting, just any of the sales taxes being a regressive tax and hitting most hardly on people who already don't have money. And it's interesting because a lot of times the allies that you find in the no taxing are also the kind of right-wing conservative, like, don't tax us kind of folks, which is also just kind of interesting. One of the things that in the mayoral debate, you know, all the candidates, the five, I guess, more highly funded candidates all talked about was how great, you know, Police Chief Braden was in the last 2 years. All except, I guess, Bernard Parks was the, for folks who don't know, he was the police chief that Mayor Hahn decided not to renew his contract and therefore put William Braden actually as police chief. And so you have Mayor Hahn going around saying, you know, there's been 18% decrease in crime over the last 2 years. You know, this guy is great. And everybody's like, yeah, this guy is great. But, I mean, you talked a little bit about the non-sleeping ordinance, but the history of Mayor Braden is that he worked under Giuliani as police commissioner in New York and did a lot of the same tactics, I think probably more strenuous back in New York, and I think it hasn't gotten to that point here. Even though, you know, in the last 6 months, 1,200 people have been arrested for, you know, sleeping on the sidewalk violations. But this is one of the things that I think folks really need to understand is that Mayor Braddon, when under his tenure in New York, there was a 67% increase in the reports of police brutality and you know, complaints against the police. So when we think about just kind of how this kind of like plays out in communities of color among Black and Latino folks, what are the kind of effects that ends up happening on our communities, this increased policing, this increased money into jails, et cetera?
Right. You know, and I'm not an expert on the broken windows policing tactics, but, you know, what I understand is that it's essentially a philosophy that argues that aggressively policing the little things will lead to bigger convictions, right? So delinquency, however minor, is leading to more serious delinquency, so we have to nip it in the bud. And basically what that looks like is the criminalization of everyday activities of poor people of color, like sitting on the sidewalk or sleeping on the street, panhandling, washing windows at the stoplight, you know, and basically, you know, the result is a lot of poor people of color being arrested for these quote-unquote quality of life crimes, right? And it's really criminalizing activities for which people have no alternative. In L.A., this philosophy is being implemented primarily through an initiative called the Safer Cities Initiative, which targets specifically five L.A. neighborhoods for more aggressive enforcement of the quality of life ordinances. And I think it's really scary. The link between this and Measure A is that more officers on the street and more resources for policing will undoubtedly result in more of those kinds of arrests. So, you know, and that is going to have a disproportionate impact on low-income communities and communities of color, for sure.
And what are the neighborhoods that the Safe Cities Initiative are housed in?
They are MacArthur Park, Baldwin Village, Hollywood and Vine area, Skid Row, and Pacoima.
All where there's also larger numbers of people of color.
Right.
You talked a little bit about, can you give people a sense of the reentry services? I mean, that we should all know, but a lot of people are not aware that when someone steps out of jail, what is it that greets them?
Well, not a very pretty picture. Actually, there was just a forum this past Saturday in Watts where people coming home from prison and jail were speaking out about all of the different barriers that they faced in trying to rebuild their lives. You know, a big thing is jobs. It's, you know, it's hard to get a job in L.A. period right now, but try having a felony conviction or any kind of drug conviction on your record and having to check off one of those boxes on the application saying, yes, I have that. You can pretty much forget about getting a job, even at a place like Jack in the Box won't hire people. So, you know, getting jobs, finding housing, a lot of the policies around parole are very restrictive and make it hard for people to just do what they need to do, not having money for transportation, health and mental health services, you know, all kinds of stuff. It's just, you know, it's a really, really challenging feat for anyone coming home from prison or jail to try to put their lives back together. And there's basically, you know, no assistance and lots of barriers in front of people, like not being able to get access to welfare. You can't get student loans if you have a drug conviction. You know, there's all sorts of barriers set up by the state to make it even harder than it normally would be when, you know, really we should be doing the opposite, right? If we want people to be able to rebuild their lives and become part of a healthy, stable community, then, you know, we should be thinking about how we can make that possible rather than how we can make that harder for people.
And so this is one of the things that you were talking about, the kind of criminalizing everyday activities. One of the things that the Bus Riders Union is doing, and there was a memo that was circulated through the MTA that was talking about creating an entirely different court system that's basically driven by the MTA, because they were saying that basically the county court system let people off, like, you know, in terms of doing community service, not paying the whole fine, et cetera. And these are for stuff like eating a sandwich on the red line or
spitting on the platform.
Like things that are just like, come on, don't you have something don't you have something better to do? Like, you know, fulfill a consent decree and buy buses and whatnot. But just this kind of fills that same kind of role of just saying, you know what, anything that working class people do, you know, we're going to try to get more money out of them, whether it's a sales tax, whether that's getting more court fees, or whether, you know, frankly, it's like locking them up in jail. So I think that this is not only an important issue just in terms of criminal justice, but I think in the longer-term fight around the mayoral candidates, this is something that we want to keep on bringing up and bringing up. So, Melissa, thank you so much for being here. I wanted to see if there was a website, a phone number, or whatnot that people can get more information about the coalition, about critical resistance, et cetera.
Yeah, absolutely. People can email CRLA, Critical Resistance Los Angeles, in other words, at criticalresistance.org. Or they can call us at 323-238-0596.
Can you say that one more time?
So it's CRLA at criticalresistance.org or 323-238-0596.
And is there also a link to the website that has, like, the tons and tons and tons of resources around the prison industrial complex, too?
Yeah, that's just www.criticalresistance.org.
Thanks so much for coming on the show, Melissa.
Okay, thanks for having me.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right.
We'll be right back.
CPR supposed to be the motto, but in their minds they be like, yo, I'ma do Diallo. I guess Matthew's noose was a better pill to swallow, cause nowadays tips ain't the only thing that's hollow.